When I was a kid in Queens, commuting on a hot, crowded subway, I never dreamed I'd be boarding a train like this. Mariachis are serenading us, and young female porters in black uniforms with spotless white gloves whisk away our carry-on luggage. I can tell I won't have to schlep as much as a hairbrush for the next 8 days. What the QE2 is to the sea, and the MGM Air was to the skies, this train is to the rails.
Welcome aboard the American Orient Express.
Whoa! They plied us with free-flowing champagne, and I'm weaving down the corridor of the Paris car right now. All of the sleeping cars are named after cities, like Vienna, Monte Carlo, Berlin. Here in the Paris car, every compartment has an inlaid fleur-de-lis, and I half expect Louis XIV and his retinue to pop out from one of these doors. I wonder what kind of accommodation I have. Wow! The presidential suite! I've just stepped into the land of mahogany. This tiny cabin has more wood than I have in my entire house. There's a floral upholstered bench and a sitting chair, but it's the other seat I'm worried about. Grâce à Dieu, I have my own toilet and my own shower with bathrobes they actually expect you to take home. The train is moving now, and I'm checking out the other rooms. Although this promises to be the most romantic rail ride in America, honeymooners, beware. The cabins are only as wide as the tracks. There's no room for a suitcase full of Victoria's little secrets, and you'd have to be an Olympic acrobat to dive from the upper to the lowest sleeping berth. The American Orient Express offers diverse, dreamy itineraries, like the jazz and blues trip from Chicago to New Orleans, the great transcontinental journey from the Beltway to sunny L.A., and a rail romp across Canada. The trip my husband and I chose goes from Santa Fe to Denver, stopping at the national parks, Bryce, Zion, the Grand Canyon, then Salt Lake City and through the Rockies. This indulgence is not for the faint of wallet, as the price ranges from $4,000 to $7,000 per person. It's already time for our first comestibles. We ricochet through about half a mile of cars with hand-painted murals, faux marble, a private library, and we arrive in the dining car. The tables are set with china, crystal, linen tablecloths, and fresh baby orchids. There are so many utensils, I could do major surgery at my table. Wine, monsieur et madame, is on the house. The biggest problem anyone has is deciding what to order for dinner.
Braised muscovy duckling breast with chambord, with dried currants and shallots. And asparagus with rice pilaf.
We'll try the poached halibut in fresh thyme.
Oh, it's tiramisu cake.
Oh, this is to die for.
This has to be the only luxury dining spot left in America where there's no such thing as a surly wait person or a sommelier with attitude. We're talking a cheery, smiling, efficient staff that hums hi-ho, hi-ho every time they head for the kitchen. And it's amazing that the chef manages these gourmet meals in a moving space the size of a bread box, even matching the food to the locale.
We try to use different ingredients for different parts of the country, such as the West. We'll have bison on the menu. We'll have mountain fish, river fish on the menu.
As we roll back to our cabin, our suite, we stop in one of the two lounge cars for a little Nachtmusik, and we talk to Pat Kennedy, the pianist.
There's nothing like playing the piano and looking out at the Colorado River next to you and see it moving along. It's very nice.
Inside our room, the little porter elves have magically turned our sitting chairs into berths, and I'm hopping in. This is special. I've never had my bed bounce around under me before. Well, good night. I'll just turn in and count trestles to fall asleep. the morning now, and there's a choice of a full breakfast in one of the dining cars or a continental spread in the observation lounge. I'm eating fresh fruit, smoked turkey, muffins, and herb tea as the countryside rolls by. Now a railroad expert has entered the car, and he's telling us the history of the train. The men, especially, are riveted. I have a sneaking suspicion that they still play with their model locomotives and cabooses back home.
The cars were cosmetically modified to reflect the traditional grandeur of the original Orient Express, which ran primarily from Paris to Istanbul. But these were all American-made. They're probably mostly built by Pullman Standard Company, some of them, I think, by American Car and Foundry, and they were built in the late 40s and early 50s in this country, and they served on American streamliners of that era.
Each day, we board motor coaches and are whisked away to the spectacular parks of the West with some of the most informed guides I've ever had. For those who want to explore, there's a naturalist on board who leads us on hikes and dazzles us with fascinating factoids.
Mistletoe is a pretty amazing plant. Birds love the flavor of the berries, but the berry, of course, would be destroyed if drowned in the gizzard, so the mistletoe contains a laxative. The berry passes very quickly through the bird's digestive tract. It doesn't just drop off anywhere, though, because the mistletoe also contains a mucilage or glue, which makes it stick to the rump or to the cloaca of the bird, and then it contains an irritant, so the bird has to rub its behind on a branch to get those seeds off. And so the seeds are then transferred to the rough bark of a tree and get to where they have to go.
And this is what we kiss under at Christmas time? Mmm. When we aren't out on excursions, there are constant diversions on board.
Well, Daddy Claxton may paint brothers and always be remembered in the course throughout this land.
We are here in the observation car. It's a gorgeous autumn day. We've just taken a walk along the west rim of the Grand Canyon. The trees are red, orange, brown. The sky is pristine blue. And we're being serenaded by country singers on board. It just doesn't get any better than this.
Rush up the engine in Lonesome Hobo's Ball. Traveling through the jungle on the Wabash Waterfall.
I'm beginning to understand why we're all able to let go and relax on this trip. People seem to have an emotional connection to the old click-clack of the rails. They evoke a time when life was slower and you could travel the country in style without high-tech intrusions, lounging and eyeballing the scenery while being served by Harvey girls. Okay, we don't have Harvey girls anymore, but we are pampered by these kids who look like the cast of Fame. Just when our nervous systems have uncoiled, we pull into our final destination, Denver, Colorado. I wish I could take a few of the wait persons and porters home with me. It's going to be pretty boring sleeping in a bed that doesn't move around during the night. I'm Judy Fine for The Savvy Traveler.